finish off with a few scriptures there. Mr. McClatchy read from Romans chapter 5. I've got that open there at Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse number 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned." If you have a Bible, you might want to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Just again, a single verse. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Speaking about God, "For he that is for God hath made him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we have the problem there in Romans chapter 5, that every single individual is born a sinner. That's important to see that. We aren't just a sinner because of what we've done. And sometimes we begin to look at our lives and we do what we're very good at as human beings. We begin to compare ourselves to other folks, and we maybe agree in principle with what Mr. McClatchy has been saying about the fact that we're sinners, but we come up with these reasons, you know, I might be a sinner, but I'm not as bad as such and such a person. Well, the scripture says, irrespective of how bad a sinner you might be, all have sinned. And any sin is sufficient to keep me out of heaven, because God is a perfect God. That's a problem, Romans 5. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have the cure. You have the cure. "For he," that is God, "God has done something about my problem, a problem I am unable to do anything about. I'm unable to cleanse myself of my sin. I'm unable to get into heaven. So God has moved in love. And here is what God has done. "For he," God, "has made him," the Lord Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then a couple of verses, please, in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 23. Again, verses to which Mr. McClatchy made reference. Luke chapter number 23. It deals with the most important event in history. It is the death, maybe the second most important event in history. I think the most important event is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But here in Luke chapter 23, we have the event of the death of the Lord Jesus. And during these times when the Savior was dying on the cross and suffering for sin, there were two men, one on each side of the Lord Jesus. Verse 39 I'm looking at in Luke chapter 23. "One of the malefactors," that is one of the criminals which were hanged, "railed on the Lord Jesus, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? But and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." A tremendous chapter there. Luke chapter 23. When you go home tonight, instead of putting the television on, open up your Bible and read through Luke chapter 23. It will give you far more profit, I guarantee you, than anything else that you might find crowding the airwaves tonight. But in Luke chapter 23, we read some tremendous events. We read about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And if you are in any doubt about the seriousness of sin, you would do well just to meditate upon this. And as you read through Luke chapter 23, if you remember another number, number 22, and you go to Psalm 22, you'll read there about some of the things the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. You'll read, for example, that the Savior had his hands and his feet pierced. You will read there that he suffered tremendous pain as his body hung upon Calvary. You'll read there that men gathered round, and as they looked at that bleeding sight of the Son of God suffering for sin, there were those there that found it funny. They thought it was funny. And in Psalm 22, you will read that men mocked him. They laughed at him. And then there were other men there who were there, and they didn't just find it funny, but they were there to inflict pain upon the Saviour. They were there to put the nails through his hands and through his feet. They were there to race him up between heaven and between earth, and to leave him in the baking heat of the sun, to let the weight of his body press upon those nails, to let him hang there with the crown of thorns upon his head, humiliated before men. And there at Calvary, God demonstrates without doubt that sin is serious. It is such a serious thing that God gave of his only Son. And he gave him to suffer for sin. So 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. And there amongst all of the terrible sufferings of Calvary, the Saviour was suffering for sin. You see, as I look in at my soul, and as I read a verse like Romans 5, as I read verses of the scripture that tell me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I realize that one day as a sinner, I'm going to meet God. You know what I tend to do, don't you? What I tend to do is I tend to make excuses for myself. I tend to say this, you know, sin isn't really so bad. Sin isn't really so bad. And then I tend to maybe just kind of cast a wee bit doubt in the judgment of God, and I just begin to say, well, my sin really isn't that bad, and maybe God isn't going to be that strict. And I begin to try and work out a way that maybe me as a sinner might get into heaven. Sin's not that bad, I say to my soul. And maybe there'll be a way that I can get into heaven as I am. Well, as we read Luke chapter 23, we come to this realization that sin is that bad. That sin is exceedingly serious, for God thought it serious enough that he sent his only Son. And he had his Son nailed to the cross at Calvary. And he had his Son punished for sin. And during that time on the cross, you read about it in Psalm 22, you read about it as well in the Gospel. God abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ. And there at the cross of Calvary, Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there at Calvary, God turned his back on a suffering Son. Tremendous. God had his Son punished for sin. And he turned his back on him. And he allowed him to suffer, as Christ cried in agony at the cross. You know, one of the most traumatic experiences I had in my years in the hospital was an experience I had in Falkirk Royal Infirmary when I just started medicine. There was a woman in the ward. She was a young woman just in her 30s, and she had a cancer. She was dying of that cancer. She had been in the hospital for a number of weeks. And the cancer began to invade into the bones at the base of her spine. And it began to eat into the nerves supplying her legs. And no matter what might be given to that woman, nothing would take away the pain. And it stuck in my mind, you know, because I wasn't working in that ward. I was working at the other side of the hospital. And right the way through the hospital, there were cries. You could hear them right the way through the wards. Across the hospital, there were cries of pain and of agony. And nobody could do anything about it. Lasted all day until finally she died. And there at Calvary, we read that Christ cried to his Father. He cried to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken him? So the scriptures, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And there he suffered. And God allowed him to suffer. In Psalm 22, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ cried and none answered him. Cried in the daytime, says the Saviour. Nobody answered. And so serious is the sin of my soul, so serious is the sin of my heart, that God allowed his only Son to suffer in such a way at Calvary. It's serious. Seriously. Here in Luke chapter 23, there are two men. and one of them realizes how serious sin is. It'd be good tonight if you realized how serious it was. Two men. You see, there's at least three things that will stop me from sinning. Perhaps the most common thing that stops me from sinning is the consequences of my sin. When I see, through experience, where sin often gets me, I begin to get sick of it, you know? And I stop doing it. By experience. You've had that, haven't you? The other day, we were out, and the top of the dog kennel, it needed some new felt, and I was told that folks don't use nails anymore to put felt onto roofs, they use glue. And I had a big tin of this glue. Now, this felt glue, it's like tar. Thick, and it's black, and it's sticky. Now, I was left responsible or irresponsible for three children, which is always a recipe for disaster. So I took this thick black glue, and I followed the instructions. I put it on top of the kennel, and I said to the boys, I says, now, I've got to leave that for 5 minutes. Don't touch the glue. So I went round the corner to do something, and I came back, and instead of three boys, there were two boys. One was missing. I said, now, where's Luke? He's up the stairs. And so we went to find him, and there he was, you see. He came down the stairs with his hands behind his back. He said, now, did you touch that glue? Oh, no, never touched the glue. No. And so for the next 30 minutes, we had to scrub at the hands to get rid of the black, tarry glue. You know, he never touched it again after that. He'd learned about sin, you see. Consequences. He knew what happened. You see, I told him, but he didn't listen, and he got the consequences. And sometimes the consequences of our sin will stop us. Sometimes we'll get ourselves in the position that these two malefactors, these two lawbreakers of Luke chapter 23 get into, and condemnation will stop us from sin. That's how the law works, doesn't it? Somebody breaks into a house and the law comes into effect and it's going to stop that man from sinning. It puts him in the prison. In the prison they can't break into houses. That's the idea, isn't it? Or if you happen to live in other parts of the world and you commit a particular sin, they may put you to death for that sin. Murder or the likes. And so the law comes in and stops you from sinning. Condemnation. But there is a third way that you might stop from sinning. And it's that third way that we find in Luke chapter 23. Look down there at verse number 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man's done nothing amiss. And here's a man. And he's going to stop from his sin. He's going to repent of his sin. Why? The third and the greatest way that we might stop from sinning, he's convicted of his sin. God's dealt with his conscience. And this sinner on the cross at Calvary, he sees that he's a sinner. And he sees that he's there at the cross and he's dying. And there's a man next to him. And he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. A man that the law has put to death. A man that Pontius Pilate has condemned. A man that God has provided to die at the cross of Calvary. And he's done nothing amiss. Why is he there? He's there, says Peter in 2 Corinthians, because he who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus, he was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in Luke chapter 23, these two thieves, one on either side of the Saviour who is being offered for sin. One of them. You would think both of them would come to it. But one of them looks off into the not too distant future. He realizes his time on earth is short. He realizes that he's a sinner. He realizes that he's about to meet God, and his heart is gripped by this. I'm looking at chapter 23, verse 40. Dost not thou fear God? He's convicted of his sin. Bible says all have sinned. He sees it too now. Bible says the wages of sin is death. He sees it too now. The scriptures say that by one man sin entered the world, and so death by sin, and so all have sinned. He sees it too now. I'm a sinner. And he realizes he's going to pass into eternity. He's going to stand in the presence of God, and he's going to be lost forever. He's afraid now. The fear of meeting God in his sins grips his soul. Do you not fear God? He does. Here's a man. And moments from death, God convicts his conscience of sin. And there at Calvary, he finds a Saviour. It's good to see you at the meeting tonight. And it's good to read with you concerning the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we would love for you to know the man who died on the cross for your sin. Knowing about this book and coming to meetings isn't enough. Two men on either side of the Lord Jesus knew all about the Lord Jesus. They knew he was real. They knew he died. They knew he had done nothing wrong. But only one received him as their Lord and Saviour. Only one repented of their sin. Only one grasped the opportunity and put their trust in Christ. Lord, remember me, he cried. In other words, I recognize who you are. I recognize that you are the God of eternity. I recognize that you're dying on the cross for my sin. Remember me, I need you. I need you as my Lord and as my Savior. Will you remember me? And he put his trust in Christ. And he saved, you see. And he saved on the basis of faith, and the Saviour answers him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Transaction, you see. Something happens. As far as everybody else is concerned, you know, it's three men and a cross. As far as everybody else is concerned, the one man on either side looked the same to them. But something's happened. And it's changed one of the men in the cross. It's changed him for eternity. For he's seen he's a sinner. He's seen that Christ is there to save him. He's put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's been saved. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It'd be good to know him, wouldn't it, tonight? And we do pray indeed that as we consider these scriptures together, that we might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come before thee. We thank thee for Christ. We think of the serious matters that we've been considering tonight. We remember the serious matter of sin. We pray, our Father, that thou would convict our conscience. Let us not just learn about sin from its consequences. We see that so often in our life when it gets us into trouble. But let us be convicted of our sin, knowing, our Father, the seriousness of entering into thy presence as sinners. We ask, our Father, that we might see in the Lord Jesus Christ the source of cleansing and salvation from sin. And we pray, our Father, tonight that not only might we learn something from thy word, but we ask, our Father, that there might be souls that come and that have, our Father, dealings with the Lord Jesus, that confess in thy presence their sin and put their trust in the Saviour who loved them and died for them. So bless us as we part, our Father. Bless thy word to each of our souls as we return thanks for this time together in Jesus' name.